Is the Torah Shemitah Ilin Shmos of Gashem Minu Marid Abe, and really loosen my tie because it's no vigil this week due to unforeseen circumstances, so we'll try and do it in a little more relaxed fashion. Parshas Emor, this week being Parshas Emor, the fascinating parsha beginning with mitzvahs that pertain to Shevet Kohuna, which they have to adhere to, we've got to make sure they adhere to, and halachas that apply to them, followed by halachas of a carbon toidah, of kiddush Hashem and chilul Hashem, and the yomim tovim, a little bit about the menorah and about the lechem aponim, and about the mekalel at the end of the parsha. Let's see, touch on a few different points over here. One of the things that the Torah tells us, Rav Moshe Feinstein points out, the very, very beginning of the parsha, begins Emor el hakohanim bnei Aaron v'amarto aleihem lenefesh shelo yitamo ba'amav. So Rashi has a question which Chazal ask, what is this double lashon? HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu, vayim Hashem Moshe, Emor el hakohanim bnei Aaron, go and say to the kohanim, the sons of Aaron, v'amarto aleihem, and say to them. What is the need for this double lashon? Emor el hakohanim bnei Aaron, tell them what's the Emor v'amarto. So famously Rashi says, Emor means tell the Koyanim v'amarta that you Koyanim should say to your children that these are the halachas. So Rav Moshe says it's a nice drasha, and it's definitely what the kavanah of the pasuk is. But where do Chazal see that v'amarta means and go and tell the younger children? Where do you see that in the pasuk? It could just as easily mean Emor al Koyanim, go to the senior Koyanim and tell them, v'amarta, that they should say to the junior Kohanim that these are the halachas. Or go and tell the Nisim of Shevet Kohuna, and they should tell everyone else. How do you see in the words, Emor el hakohanim bnei Aaron v'amarta, that this means go and tell the other people? Go and tell the younger children, sorry. So, I think lying beneath this is also the understanding as to why over here the Torah uses the word Emor v'amarta, as opposed to using the Lashon of Dibur. Why is the Torah using an expression which is a light touched expression, an expression which is said with more care, a softer expression, with more encouragement, rather than the Lashon of Dibur, which is more stern, more forthright? And part of that is that tell this to the Kohanim, and they then should go and tell this to those. I once heard a pshat that there's a need over here as well to go with a softer command which requires more explanation. The reason for that is that you're coming here to a kohen, he's going to go to his children who sit in the same cheder, in the same classroom, in the same shul as their friends, yet you're telling them, listen, you can't go and play in that sandpit over there. Why all my friends go there? The Rebbe takes us there and break. Why can't we go? Because you can't become Tommy. What do you mean? All my friends can become Tommy. My Rebbe, my teacher can become Tommy. Yeah, but you're a kohen. And there's a necessity here to explain, Emor el hakohanim bnei Aaron, go and tell these kohanim, you know who you are, you know who you are descendants of, do you know what a schus that is, and do you know what that entitles you to do, and to partake in? Ah, so memela, that has with it certain senses of responsibility, certain restrictions, because of the chashivas of your post. And says Rav Moshe that when that is given over, it's important that the bnei Aaron give this over in a way, it shouldn't be said in a way, oh, you know what, it's really hard not to be metame lenefesh, and it's really difficult to always adhere to all the halachas of Tumah Tahara, but no, what can I do? It's in order to be able to serve in the Beis Hamikdash, that's what I need to do. Says Rav Moshe, all that will make is that the next doer will say, you know what, it's taka hard. The previous doer had the koichas to scale that hardship, but we don't have those koichas. And that says Rav Moshe, that's not the way that we're going to encourage the younger doer to adhere to what we adhere to. The only way is, go and tell the koyanim, they should say themselves, it's geschmack. I have this opportunity to do a mitzvah, I have this opportunity not to be matamil amav, and so to speak, they're saying it to themselves. By them saying it to themselves and saying, this is the mitzvah that I do, and this is just another mitzvah that I do with a geschmack, mimela, that will filter down, that Be'ez Hashem, the Doris afterwards, will do that as well. A little further on, Perek Chof Beis, Pasuk Gimel, A little further on, Perek Chav Beis, Pasuk Gimel.
It's like what you explained about why people didn't care on keeping Shabbos in America.
Yeah. It's a Shre. Yeah. So the Pasuk in Perek Chav Beis, Pasuk Gimel, is telling the Kohanim that they're not allowed to eat from any kodshim when they are Tommy. Any kohen who goes to eat from kodshim whilst the kohen is tommy, that carries the penalty of koris. Rashi says, "Venichrusa." What does venichrusa mean? And he'll be excommunicated. He'll be extracted from. He'll be admonished from. What does venichrusa mean? Says Rashi, Yochel, you may think lahachris means to cut off. He'll be cut off from Klal Yisrael. Maybe it means Yochel mitzadze letzadze. Maybe it means that Yikoris mimakoymo yisashim makom acher. He's going to have to be severed from where he is now and need to relocate to a new place. Maybe that's what the pasuk means. V'nichrasa, someone who eats kodshim when they are tomei. V'nichrasa, they have to be removed from where they are and have to relocate to in some other place. Talmud Loma ends off the pasuk Ani Hashem. B'chol makom ani, I'm everywhere. So venichrasa means you're going to be cut off from me. It can't just mean to relocate to a different place because that's not being cut off from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is everywhere. It must mean venichrasa rachmona litzlan. That means completely severed from HaKadosh Baruch Hu with no connection anymore to Olam Haba. There's a sefer Oitzar Ephraim. It brings a story. There was a Yid who lived in the times, his Rav was Rabbi Yosef Shaul Natanzon, the Baal Shali Tshuvah Shaul Ameshiv. He lived in his town, and this particular Yid happened to be the owner of the local kretschmer, the local tavern. He had a deal with the Poritz of that vicinity that he would have the contract to run this local tavern, and a percentage of his profits would go to the Poritz. And every year, on a designated date, they would sit down together, they would go through all the accounts, he would show exactly what his income had been, what his expenses had been, what his profits are, and commensurate to that, he would hand out the percentage to the Poritz, which he had promised to give him each year. And one Chol HaMoed Pesach, the Poritz bumps into the Yid, says to him, "Oh, no, what are you doing today? You're closed, right?" It's Pesach. He says, "Yeah." He says, "Actually, no, today happens to be a good day for me. Let's sit down and go through the accounts." The Yid said, "Fine, no problem, I'll be along. I'm going to go home, have breakfast, and I'll come." And he went and he sits down with the Poritz. He comes there with his full set of accounts. And slowly they spend the entire day going through the accounts, checking. And the Poritz, as always, is really happy with him. And he sees exactly that he's kept a meticulous cheshbon of exactly what's come in, what's gone out, and his profit, what it is in the end. It comes to the end of the cheshbon. They work out the percentage of what the Poritz is meant to get. And sure enough, the Yid picks up a bag, which he says, "Here, I've already brought it with me." He hands it over, all that cash, to the Poritz. The Poritz sits there, he counts it out. And it's exactly, and once again, he's very happy with this trustworthy Yid who's running the local kretschmer, making a good business there for him. And he says to him, "One minute," he goes into the other room, comes back in, two glasses, he says, "Let's make a l'chaim on the fact that we another year of success and a l'chaim to the coming year." And they drink a l'chaim and off the Yid goes. As he's walking home, he suddenly chaps, "Ribbono shel Olam." Completely, because of being involved in what he was doing, and he completely forgot it was Pesach, he had just had a little whiskey. He had a shot of whiskey together with the Poritz. He was devastated. So he ran to the Shaul Ameshiv. He ran to the Baal Shaul Ameshiv, to Rabbi Yosef Shaul Natanzon. He said to the Rebbe, What do I do? Am I mistaken? It was a shoygig. I completely forgot it was Pesach. Abadach. So the Baal Shaul Ameshiv told him, "Go to the Heilig Beis Rav." Right. So he said, on Pesach. So he said, "Go to the Heilig Beis Rav and ask him what to do. He'll tell you. But do me a favor. When he tells you what to do, ask him where his makor is from. And tell him in my name. I'd like to know where he gets it from to tell you what to do." Okay. So the Yid travels to Belz, goes into to the Rebbe, and the Rebbe tells him, he hears what he has to say, and the Rebbe says to him, "You're going to have to sell your home, sell the business, and relocate to Eretz Yisrael. That's going to be your tikkun. And the golus that you're going to put yourself into, relocating to a new place, which is golus, that's going to be your tikkun." So he said, "Fine, I'm a kabbal. Just that my Rebbe, the Baal Shaul Ameshiv, my Rav asked that I should ask the Rebbe, please, why this is the tikkun. Where does it come from that this is the tikkun?" So the Rebbe said to him, "I'll tell you." He says, "In Parshas Boy, in Perek Yud Beis, where we're told about the mitzvah of Pesach, and Kol Machmetz is Loisei Chelu. Well, there actually says Ki Kol Oichel Chometz VeNichrusa Anefesh Ahi Mi Yisrael. On that word VeNichrusa, he says there's a few times the word VeNichrusa is used in the Torah, and each time the word VeNichrusa is used, it has a different trop. The trop on top of the VeNichrusa in Perek Yud Beis. And Shemayis Perek Yud Beis Pasuk Tesvav, when it says that Ki Kol Oichel Chometz VeNichrusa Anefesh Ahi Mi Yisrael is a Gershayim. A lashon of girush. So from there we see you need the tikkun for that of someone who take has who eats chometz b'shogeg is to go into galus. Okay, so he went back to the Baal Shalom Meshiv. He said to him, Rebbe, I'm going to have to leave. I have to leave town. This is the tikkun. I'm going to have to go. This is for the reason. This is the Belzer told me. It's because of the trop. So Baal Shalom Meshiv said, okay, before you go, let's just sit down and check through the Venichrasos in the Torah. And Taka, they started to look. Each one has a different trop. Until they came to Parshas Emor. They come to our Parsha. This Pasuk. Perkhov Beis Pasuk Gimel. The Pasuk that says that a Kohen whose tummy is not allowed to eat Kodshim. And the Pasuk says there, Venichrasos and there's a Gershayim on top. My high. I thought each one is different. And if so, is this the same tikkun? So you see, you know what? There's a halacha in Hilchas Tfilas HaDerech that when a person leaves town, it's going to brachas daf chav tes daf lamed, that a person daf kezegin zich from his rav, his rebbe, the other mechashav in town. You go and you get a bracha and then you leave. He said, you can't leave to chutzlar to go to Eretz Yisrael without going via bells and getting a bracha from the god Lader, from the bells rav. When you're there, ask him this kasha. Tell him we looked and we found and that's the kasha. So he said, fine, I'll go. So he came there. He gets a yechidus with the Rebbe, he goes in, he has his appointment, he gets his bracha, and he says, Rebbe, my Rav, the Baal Shalom Yishev, said, I should ask you, we went through Parshas Emor. The Venichrus are there, also has a great Gershayim. So the Rebbe said to him, have a look at Rashi in Parshas Emor. Rashi there says, Venichrus, Yochel, you may think that this means, Yochel mitzadzeh letzadzeh, you may think that over here the chorus means to have to be extracted from where you live and relocate somewhere else. That it means Yikoris Mimakomim Vyasyashe Vimokam Acher Talmud Loimar Ani Hashem. Why did Rashi have a kasha here? Ping Te Rashi asks. Maybe here the Koris means to relocate to a different place. Doesn't ask that about other places of Koris. And then he answers, oh no, here Talmud Loimar Ani Hashem. So do you know why Rashi had the kasha? Because here it's also got the Gershayim that on top of the Venichrasa. You may have thought that the remez there is that this Venichrasa also means that a person should be extracted from this place to have to relocate somewhere else. And Golos is the tikkun. Kamash Malon, Ani Hashem, here that's not the tikkun. And that Nebuch, there is no tikkun over here because Venichrasa means that there's complete, when a person does this Bemezid, there's complete extraction from the Am Hashem. One of the things that we see a little later on in Perek Chof Beis Pasuk Zayin is the halacha that a kohen, in order to be able to eat kodshim after he's become tomei, needs to have harev shemesh. So the famous halacha we know from the first mishnah in Shas that we only eat shema mishosha kohenim nichnosim lechol b'trumasim. If they want to eat truma or kodshim, they have to wait for harev shemesh. So what is this harev shemesh? What is it? We start a kohen is tomei. Fine, he became tomei. He lets go of the sheretz or whatever it was that made him tomei. He tovels in the mikveh. For all intents and purposes, he is tohu. He can't bring his karbonis till tomorrow morning. And he can't do it. He can't eat kachim. He can't get into the base of mikdash. And he can't eat truma until nacht. With nacht, suddenly he becomes tohu. What happens at nacht? What's different? So, the Egle Tal, in the Hakdome, to his Sefer Egle Tal on Shabbos, Hilchos Shabbos, he says in the name of his father that when a person does a mitzvah, there's a hashpah that comes from that mitzvah, the malachim that a person creates, and the aura of the energy that the ruchnius that's provided by that mitzvah is such that a person is enveloped in a particular type of simcha and inspiration that keeps him going till the end of that day. If chas v'shalom a person does an avera, then it has the opposite effect until the end of that day. And he says that at the end of that day, a person needs to refresh themselves. Chazal were misakin that if a person says Birkas Kriyashma and Shema at the beginning of the day, and a person says it b'kavana, then a person is enveloped with Simcha and Siyata Dishmaya, that keeps him going throughout the day. Oh, but that only lasts until Nacht. Hence, we need another Kriyashma to get us through the night. And then morning, we've lost, that's also run out, it's expired, and we need another Kriyashma and its brachas to get us through the day. So he says that over here, when this person became Tommy, usually we're talking about a Kohen who became Tommy from a Tumah on that day, for which he needs Tefillah. And Tefillah and Harav Shemesh, and tonight he can go already and eat everything Trumah and Kodshim. As opposed to someone who was a Metzor or another severe Tumah when he needs Karbanos tomorrow, so then his Taros process only finishes tomorrow. So says the according to this Egli Tal, we understand Harav Shemesh means that because today I was infected by tumah, the koyach of that expires, like any mitzvah or avera's koyach expires at the end of the day. And when you come to the end of the day, any time zone, you come to the end of a time zone, there's a hischadshus, there's an opportunity of a complete hischadshus. A person, and part of what we see from here is that each day, we'll see later on from Sfiras Ayin, that each day is a day on its own. And even if I messed up a day before, I can a brocha and count a new day, and it's a new mitzvah, and I have the opportunity to restart. The chiddush over here is that every time zone is another opportunity for hischadshus. Hence, so we say that even though they may have today contracted tumah and today had tumah on them from which they toveled, but there's still the remnants of the effects of tumah that stay with them, and that needs to be taken care of by the end of the day. A little later on in the parasha, we have the mitzvah of bringing a carbon toida. There's a few times in Sefer Vayikra where we are told the halacha of pigul. The halacha of pigul is that either the owner or the kohen doing the avodah on that particular carbon during one of the four main avodahs of shechita, kabbalah, halacha, or zrika must not have a kavana that this carbon is going to be eaten or offered up in the incorrect time. Chutz lizmanoi. That would constitute the avera of pigul, resulting from which anyone who eats from that carbon afterwards is chayav koris. So pigul is what we tell a kohen: don't make it pigul. At the time that you're bringing the carbon, or the owner, at the time you're bringing the carbon, make sure you intend that it should be offered up and eaten within the time limit that's been given for it. So the Torah tells us about it earlier on in Sefer Vayikra. It tells us about it at the beginning of this week's parasha, in Parashat Tamar, and for some reason it says it again in the parasha of Toida, in Perek Chav Beis, Pasuk Chav Tes, and Pasuk Lamed, it says, "V'chisiz b'chu zebach Toida l'Hashem l'rtoinchem tizbachu b'yoy mahu yeyochel." Yeah, it's got to be eaten on that day. Yeah, and we say that so Rashi says there that it's not coming to tell us l'rtoinchem tizbachu tchilas v'chaschem izaru shtei l'rotzinochem. Mahu arotzin? What's the when you're starting off to shecht? What's the rotzen? That you should loibol lahazir elosh shechita al manoskein. This is a pasuk telling you when you shecht your carbon toida, make sure you're shechting it that it's going to be eaten within the right time span that's been given for it, and not after that. We already know this halacha of pigul. The Ksav Sefer says that there must be a reason that the Torah reiterates that there's a reason for us to tell the owner of this carbon, be careful at the time when you are bringing this carbon to ensure that you have all your machshavas correct. L'rutzayn chem tizbachu. Why is it that all other karbonos we rely on the generic tivui of pigul? Comes to toida, we need to re-stress by toida, don't have any machshavas psul. The Ksav Sefer says a very interesting thing. He says, why do we bring a carbon toida? Carbon toida is brought by anyone that was in a matzav of sakana and prevailed, survived. The truth is, when they bring that carbon, what are they doing? They're saying, hakaras hatov, that I survived the sakana that I was in. But a person could stand there and say, you know what? Shkoyach. I didn't need to have the sakana in the first place. I'm only bringing this carbon, I'm spending all this money because the Rebbeinu Shel Olam put me, because he saved me from a sakana. No, he could have done even better, not put me in the sakana in the first place. And resulting from that, a person may not have their kavana as it should be, because they may say, yeah, I'm bringing this, hakaras hatov. Hakaras hatov that he saved me. So you know what? I could say, hakaras hatov that someone pulled me out of the water where I was drowning. But they were the guy that put me in there in the first place. I would have a lot more hakaras hatov if he never tried to drown me in the first place, that afterwards he had to save me from drowning. And therefore it could be that a person won't have the perfect machshavas at the time when one brings a korban toida. Hence, by a korban toida, even though we have already had the mitzvah of having the correct kavanas when I bring a korban, of pigul, of doing it l'ratzin, that it should have the different kavanas that are necessary when bringing a korban, it reiterates it by a korban toida, where a person may be thinking, I could have done without this whole experience anyway, and therefore I wouldn't have had to bring this korban toida. And therefore we say that he has to have his machshavas in the correct way. Later on, and shortly after that, the pasuk tells us, "Ushmaitem mitzvayis ayvasisim oisam." That was perek chof beis pasuk chof tes pasuk lamed alef. The pasuk says, "Ushmaitem mitzvayis ayvasisim oisam ani Hashem." You should keep my mitzvahs. Carries on the pasuk, "Veloys chalul leshem kochi, never be mechalul shem shemaim, v'nikdashti b'seich b'nei Yisrael, and always make a kiddush Hashem, ani Hashem bekadishchem." Just fascinating. I'm not sure if I mentioned this last year, if I saw it afterwards. Either way, it's an amazing thing. Two of the grandsons of the Baba Sali were once speaking at a Yahrzeit Suddah for him. And one of them got up, and within what he was saying, he made a comment that the Zohar HaKadosh was given to my grandfather as a gift from Hashem. And there was a very choshev person sitting in the audience who took issue, not verbally, but from their body language, it was clear that they had taken issue with this. The Rebbeinu gives you. There's no such thing. A Rebbeinu doesn't just give Torah as a matana to a person. The person has to be miyageya. Even then it's a matana, but it's not like given as a matana the way it was being described. And the other grandson saw the disdain on one of the guests' faces. When it got his turn to stand up to speak, he said, "I want to just explain what my brother said, that the Zohar HaKadosh was given as a matana to my grandfather." He said, "In Morocco, there was a particular cave. Inside this cave was a mikveh tara that the Masorah had it, had been used certainly from the time of Churban by Sheni, perhaps even from before. It was toveled in by people who came at that time. We're talking about Kadosh Elyon, people who were Yeresh Mayim of a different realm from that which we can even imagine. And this was used by them. When my grandfather was a young man, and then Morocco, they would already start to learn Sisrei HaTorah when they were much younger. But even that, you only learnt it b'kedusha v'tahara. One had to tovel before sitting down with their rebbe to learn. And he wanted to learn this within the Spitz kedusha v'tahara. So he wanted to tovel in this mikveh. But people told him you can't tovel there. That it was known as well in the tradition, this mikveh was covered with insects, stinging insects, on the top of the water, on the water surface of this mikveh. And anyone who had gone in there had been terribly stung. And they told him that he was adamant to go into the mikveh where people from the times of the Churban Habayis, people who lived at the times of the Beis HaMikdash, if I'm going to learn, and I have to be a Beis HaNefesh, I'll need to tovel. And he went and he toveled in that mikveh, bim serious nefesh, got stung terribly. Later on in life, when he was already the Baba Sali, he once went with his gaba, he would go often with his gaba, to tovel in that mikveh. And he came out unscathed every single time. One time he actually said to his gaba, "I want you to tovel in that mikveh." His guy said, I can't tovel in it. So you tovel in that mikveh. He said, "I can't look." He said, "I'll put my foot in and you tovel in that mikveh." The Baba Sali put his foot in, all the insects moved to the other side. His shamas toveled, came out, and the insects, the Baba Sali took his foot out, and the insects returned. Said the Enikel, "My grandfather told the shamas, this is not a nis. I think I'm in Baal Mofus." There's a concept. He said another time in Netivot, the Baba Sali came out one night, they were waiting to say Kiddush Levana, and it was clouded over. The Baba Sali came out, he looked up, and he waved towards the clouds moved apart, they said Kiddush Levana, and then when he was finished, they covered over again. So he said to people around him, "You all think I'm a Baal Mofus. I make the clouds move." He says, "It's not, I want to explain to you something. When a person does a mitzvah, b'mesiris nefesh gemura, the Rabbeinu Shalom gives them a koyach over that mitzvah. It becomes their mitzvah. They are shoylet on that mitzvah." He says, "I was a young man one time in Morocco, a terrible, terrible month as far as Kiddush Levana was concerned. And from the people who understood the nature, they were telling us that there was definitely not going to be a clear night between when we're already getting closer to the last night of saying Kiddush Levana. There's no way. The only way you're going to get a clear night is in this and this part of the country, which would take days to travel there through the rugged terrain, through the mountains, which was a sakana in itself. And I made that journey, besakana, for a couple of days with no sleep and walking and walking and walking, minimal food, minimal drink, in order to be able to say Kiddush Levana and then return. He says, and that was a tremendous mysterious nefesh, resulting from which the Rabbeinu Shalom had said, whenever you want to mekayim Kiddush Levana is yours. So the Einikel, the same thing happened to him with that mikveh. He toiled in that mikveh, and he'd been mysterious nefesh gemura, not because he was relying on a nace, because he got completely stung, but he did that because he wanted to learn Kiddush Levana. So resulting from which, that mitzvah of Tevila is given to him. It's his. He showed it on it. He showed it on it for himself, and he showed it on it from others. He says, don't for a second think that my grandfather didn't spend years toiling over the Zohar HaKadosh. But eventually, much of it was given to him as a matana, resulting from the mysterious nefesh with which he approached it. That when a person does mitzvahs with mysterious nefesh, and that's part of him, v'nikdashti b'soch b'nei Yisrael, a person is mekadosh Shem Shamayim, either by Kiddush Hashem Mamish of giving their life up for it, or Mesirus Nefesh. Mesirus Nefesh doesn't need to mean that a person gives one's life up. It means when one is Moser, one's entire Nefesh, one's entire being at that moment for whatever needs to be done, as far as that mitzvah is concerned. The Mefarshim ask, what is this pasuk over here? Ushmartem mitzvah, you should keep my mitzvahs. Vasise Moser, and you should do them. Ani Hashem. Pasuk, Perichov based pasuk Lamed Aleph. We've just finished talking about the previous pasuk about a carbon toida, and when I start with the right kavanah, one brings a carbon toida. We're going to carry on with now the mitzvah of Kiddush Shem Shamayim, and then the mitzvahs of the Mayadin. Randomly in the middle, one would say, randomly in the middle is this pasuk, Ushmata mitzvahs, I see my son, you should keep my, you should be showing me my mitzvahs, I see my son, where does this fit in? What is this telling us? Why is this over here? The Mefarshim will ask it, the Rishonim, the Akronim, how does this mitzvah here, you should be shomer mitzvahs, and Rashi says, you know what it means? Ushmartem zu ha-mishnah, v'asisem zeh ha-maaseh. How does that fit in over here? The possible way of understanding it, my Rebbe Ruchaim Kaufman, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, would say, is that we've just finished now the entire set of halachas through the parashas of Ayikra, Tzav, Shmini, Tazriya, Metzorah, Achremois, Kedoshim, Emor, and the halachas of the Koranus and the Koyanim. And a person will come in our galus and say, but I have no shaykhus to it. I don't have a carbon, I don't have a beis hamikdash, and I don't have kohanim b'avodasam, so I don't have a shaykhus to it. Says the pasuk, as a way of wrapping this all up, ushmarta mitzvoisai, this is Mishnah. By learning about it, a person also has a shaykhus, as we know, in the Shalom Parim Sfasinu, ushmarta mitzvoisai, be mashaneh, learn these psukim, learn these halachas, and then a person has a shaykhus to them as well. The Chassam Sofer over here says that actually these psukim go together. Ushmartem, if it doesn't go with the previous psukim, it goes with the following psukim of Kiddush Shem Shamayim, and followed then by the mitzvahs of the Moyadim. Firstly, he says, this goes with the mitzvah of Kiddush Shem Shamayim. Ushmartem mitzvah isai. You should be shomer mitzvahs, meaning Mishnah, learn Torah. Vasisim ha-shomer, you should do them. And then Kal Yisrael, I want you to know, those of you who are learning Torah and keeping Torah, you need to conduct yourselves on a madriga that's higher than the rest of the world. Like the Gemara in Yuma says, that a Talmud Chacham, or a person who is Oseik Batorah, call anyone who is Oseik Batorah, if he's Mekadosh Shem Shamayim, people will say, Ashrei Misha Lomdei Torah, or Ashrei Misha Loimei Torah. And if Chas V'Shalom Faket, the opposite. And therefore it says, Ushmarta Mitzvahis HaVasisim HaYisam, learn my mitzvahs and do them, and then be even more particular about the next mitzvah, which is to ensure that one's always keeping, one's always being ensuring to be Mekadosh Shem Shamayim and not Chas V'Shalom being Mechalel Shem Shamayim. There's another Chassam Sofer that actually straight afterwards, where the Chassam Sofer says that he asked a question that there's in the parasha of Moyadim, in Perek Chof Gimel, there's two psukim which seem to be saying exactly the same thing. One towards the beginning, one towards the end of the parasha of the Moyadim. The second one seems to be completely superfluous. And obviously, the Torah is telling us something more than naturally meets the eye. It starts off, Daber b'nei Yisrael v'omarto aleihem, Moyade Hashem asher tikro yisom mikroi kodesh, eile hem heim Moyade. These are my Moyadim. Sorry, both of them are at the beginning. Then it says about Shabbos. And then again, Eile Moyade Hashem Mikroi Kodesh Ashetikro Yisom B'Moyadom. Yeah, Pasuk Beis says, Moyade Hashem Ashetikro Yisom Mikroi Kodesh Eilehem Moyadoi. Pasuk Dalud, Eile Moyade Hashem Mikroi Kodesh Ashetikro Yisom B'Moyadom. It's exactly the same words, almost. What's the difference? The Chassam Sofer says, the second Pasuk is, Eile Moyade Hashem, these are the Moyadim of Hashem, Mikroi Kodesh, The Moyadim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which I'm Mikroi Kodesh, Asher Tikra Yisom Ber Moy Adom. That you've got to designate them at their right time. The earlier pasuk doesn't mention anything about Moyadom at their right time. It says, Moyadei Hashem Asher Tikra Yisom Mikroi Kodesh. There are times of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that you should call them Mikroi Kodesh. Says a Chassam Sofer, a person, the Torah is telling us over here that we Klal Yisrael have an unbelievable koyach. We have a koyach that we are Mekadesh Hazman. As we say by every Yom Tov, it's by virtue of the fact that we are Mekadesh the Chodesh, we also are Mekadesh the Yom Tov, and we make Yom Tov. More than that, there's a Chassam Sofer somewhere else that says, I don't remember where, he says we have this amazing koyach that every week, every time we have a day of Kedusha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Shabbos has a Kedusha. Or we can be Moisif min HaChol al HaKodesh. We can bring it in early. And we do. We are Tosefes Shabbos at the beginning, at the end. Who makes that? Every single one of us makes that at the point that we are Mekabel Shabbos. You can be Mekabel a minute before me. You've created extra Kedusha in that moment that moment earlier that you've created Kedusha. He says, and more than that, this pasuk is telling us, you should know, there's a world which has Kedusha available. There are times which you, Klal Yisrael, can call Mikra Kodesh whenever you want. He says, and Tamid Chachamim and Tzadikim designate many hours, many minutes, many seconds of their day to being Mikra Kodesh, to being Mamish Mikra Kodesh. And for them, Shabbos and Yom Tov is just part of that same package. They haven't really, it's not anything that's...
What do you mean they're making part of more of their day Kodesh?
They designate their time to be involved solely in Inyan and Kedusha. And nothing else.
Well, that's what they're learning.
Correct.
Like anyone else.
Like anyone can do that anytime. It's just a person can be like the unique Yechidei Skulu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has put for us in the world, the Rebbe Eliashivs of our world, who are mamish, they're living Shabbos the whole time. That's what the Zohar HaKadosh says, Talmid Chacham is called Shabbos. In fact, there's a remez that they say, the Chassam Sofer says there's a remez, that the two Shemus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yud Kei Vav Kei and Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, so Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, the Gematria is 65, and plus 26 is 91. That's the Gematria of Sukkah, yeah, 91. Because the Talmud Chacham is always Soiche, he's always being sheltered by the Shemus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's also referring to the Kedusha of the day and the Kedusha of the night. Each one is given one of those names. He says, the Chassam Sofer and Torah, a Talmud Chacham who's enveloped, who's soiche in Torah the whole time, by night and by day, with these two shemas, one referring to night, one referring to day. Torah is Gematria, Tof, Vav, Reish, Hei, 611, plus 91, is 702, is the Gematria Shabbos. And Talmud Chacham who's... 611 plus 91, is 702. That's Shabbos. A Talmud Chacham the Yechidei Skula, who are enveloped and immersed in Torah, the whole time, they live Shabbos. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, but then there's the rest of us who have to be involved in what we have to be, going to be involved in Yishuv Shel Olam. We've got to keep the world running, and that's our tafkid in this world. So for that, Rabbeinu Shimon says, Eilei Moyadei Hashem Mikra Kodesh, Asher Tikra Yisom B'Moy Adom. There's always going to be the ones that are designated in their time, a Pesach, a Shavuot, a Sukkot, a Yom Kippur, a Rosh Hashanah. And we should know as well that we, like the Talmud Chacham, can do it the whole time. We can find moments which we can designate to be like Shabbos. So the Torah is telling us, how do you do that? Ushmaitem mitzvoisai v'asisem v'asom. As a hakdama to the parasha of Moyadim. Ushmaitem mitzvoisai. Learn, be mashane, learn my mitzvahs. And by learning my mitzvahs, you create moments of time that are moments like Mikra Kodesh, that are moments like Moyadim. Right at the end of the parasha, just finish off with this, the fascinating thing, the story the Ben Ishchai said, right at the end of the parasha, we have the parasha of the Mekalel. Well, what did he do? The Megadif. He came and he said, he made litzonos of the Lechem Aponim. The Lechem Aponim, it says the Lechem Aponim is put in front of Klal Yisrael at the end of each Yom Tov, before Klal Yisrael would go back and leave the Beis HaMikdash, the Kohanim would bring the Shulchan out of the Heichal and hold it up and show Klal Yisrael, Ruchi Baschem Lifnei Amokim, look how HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves you. The bread that was put here a week ago, a 9-day-old piece of bread, is still hot and fresh as if it... This person came out and he was Melagleg. He made Leitzonos of the fact a king eats bread that's 9 days old. He keeps eating fresh bread on the day. And he was making Leitzonos of the nace that was in the base of the... What do you mean? He took away the nace? The nace was still there. It was still fresh after 9 days. By making litonis of it, it dampens the effect. It takes away the, and that's why the Masidus Yesharim says it's like a shield which is covered in some sort of ointment that when the arrow comes, it just falls off. It doesn't cause any effect. That's what a word of litonis can do. The Ben Ish Chai said in Baghdad, which is where he lived, I'm not sure whether he said this story and he said the Rav was himself, he just said it as the Rav, or it was a previous Rav in Baghdad. He said there was one person, a known person in Baghdad, a Letz, not some a Letz, not just a guy who went around saying jokes, but he made litzonos of Torah, of mitzvahs, and people knew about him, and he said it was a terrible shame for Torah mitzvahs. And there was a person who made some sort of suda for whatever reason it was, and decided he wanted an entertainer, and invited this guy to come and speak, to come and entertain the crowd. And he did, and he got up, and within what he said also, he was melagleg on Torah, on Talmidei Chachamim, and he finished his routine, and he went down, and he went to have something to eat, and he took a piece of fish, started to choke on the bone, and choked and choked, and by the time they realized what was going on, and they came to help him, he was gone. And the wife comes out, and she starts shouting at her husband, why did you allow him to eat the fish? You know, why are you there? And the husband said, Meshuggah, why did you make fish and leave bones inside? The whole vikuach starts between the husband and wife. Meanwhile, some of the person in the crowd says to him, you know, you two are fools. If the police come now and they find that this guy is dead and he's in your home, you're going to be done for, you'll be on murder charges. You'll be locked up until proven innocent. So just get rid of the body from your house. They said, oh, good idea. They quickly went, they took the corpse, they put it out, they stood him upright outside their upstairs neighbor in their apartment. Was a doctor. He stood this corpse outside his door, banged on the door really hard, and ran down the stairs. Stairwell's obviously dark, no one could see anything. The doctor says, hello, hello, can't hear anything, hello, can't hear anything. Opens his door, he's peering out, and as he comes out, he doesn't see, and he knocks into this guy who's right in front of his door, and starts tumbling down the stairs with him. He cuts to the next thing. He says, are you okay? Suddenly, Chav said, this guy's not okay. Oh, I've just killed someone. Well, if I get an inquiry against me, I'm definitely going to be banged up for years. So he takes him and he decides to put him downstairs, a couple of floors down. There's a tailor who works there. He's got his flat. So he puts this guy outside the tailor's door, bangs on the door, runs away. The tailor's worker, they didn't even hear anything. The tailor's worker goes out for a bit of fresh air, or he's create a bit of fresh air in the fresh air, and he sees an image in the stairwell outside. He gets the shock of his life. He runs back into the tailor. He says, there's some guy there waiting. It's an intruder. So he gets hold of his iron, which is burning hot, and he comes outside and he says to the guy, what do you want? And no response. What do you want? He's sure now, this is the guy's wait. So he takes his iron, he throws it at him. The guy keels over. And then he goes, are you okay? He realized, I must have killed him with the iron. So what's he going to do? He says, if I leave him here, I'm going to get in trouble. I'll get killed. He runs down to the rubbish tip downstairs. And he takes the corpse, he throws it into the bin. Hoping the guy is going to be, but his legs were still sticking out. He ran upstairs. Meanwhile, a shikha comes past. And the shikha comes past. And he's not able to keep a straight line, and he bangs into the dustbin cart, and then he bangs his head, and he notices there's someone's legs there, so he thinks that this person must have dived in after hitting him or kicking him, so he pulls the guy out, and because this fellow now, having been tossed and turned from place to place, looks like he's laughing at him. So he's sure this guy is laughing at him about the fact that he fell over and he tripped him over. So he takes a piece of the bottle that had just fallen on the floor with his last bits of schnapps that are there, and he severs the guy's head off. And just then a policeman comes by. Caught him in the act. Caught the murderer. So he goes to court the next morning. There's not much to discuss. Listen, I saw him, he's got the blood's on his hand, literally. But the tailor heard about it, and he felt, Lemaisa, what, this guy, never, he was drunk, and he's going to sit. It was my fault. The tailor goes to the courthouse, and goes to justice, the judge. The truth is, I killed him. I threw an iron at him, and what I did is I threw him in the rubbish tip. And then the doctor felt bad, so the doctor came in, and he said, the truth is, you know, I killed him, and I fell down the stairs, and I put him outside the tailor. Eventually, this couple felt bad, and they said, no, actually, he died in our house, because he ate from the fish. The judge was bewildered. I don't understand. I've got five people all coming and saying they're the murderers. And the one guy who we caught as a murderer was blind drunk, but he says he's not the murderer. So what do I do? So even there, what does he do? You go to the local Rav, right? There's only one person who's going to help you out. And the Rav says to him, I want you to know, this has nothing to do with anything. This person was misloited on Torah, on the Rabbeinu Shleilam, and he got the Dalad Mises. Yeah, he got Chenek when he choked. He got Skila when he got thrown down the stairs. He got Srefa when he got the iron burning on him. And eventually he got Saif when he got his head chopped off. And it was because of the Leitonus that happened that that's what brought him to his miserable end, not all the other things that happened. Agashavas.